Welcome back to Insight on Cap Radio. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. UC Davis is a hub of the cutting edge of academia, but arguably this research and knowledge can be a little insular on campus, reserved for students, professors, and academic journals. Well, a professor wanted to make the fields of science more accessible outside of the classroom, bringing in the general public at a cozy bar, maybe with a pint of beer, to learn about all of the groundbreaking research that's taking place. Dr. Jared Shaw is a UC Davis professor and creator of the Science Cafe. It is held on the second Wednesday of every month at G Street Wonder Bar in Davis so that the community can learn about the current state of science. Tonight's discussion is with Dr. Elva Diaz, titled How to Change Your Mind, The Mechanisms of Brain Function in Learning and Memory. And with that, welcome to you both.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks so much.
We're going to get a little preview of tonight's UC Davis Science Cafe. Let's start from the beginning, Professor Shaw, because this is many moons ago, years ago. When did the light bulb go off to create the Science Cafe?
That's a great question. I was walking through the UC Davis Arboretum, and I felt like it would be great if there was some representation of chemistry in the Arboretum. And so I started a project to do that. And as part of that project, someone in the Arboretum said, oh, you should have a science cafe to accompany this. And I asked her, what science cafe? And so that was the first inkling I had that there was this global movement to make science accessible. And so I started an annual one for a while and then decided in 2012 to make it a monthly event in Davis. And so it was the first science cafe in the capital region, but it's definitely something that's had momentum across the country and across the globe.
So there was already kind of like a template or a framework in place.
Yeah, absolutely. There's a website, sciencecafes.org, and it kind of gives you some guidance on it. And there are some things that are we follow and some that we don't. They want to make sure that everyone knows that it's a conversation and not a lecture. So you're not supposed to sit there quietly while someone presents PowerPoint slides for an hour. You're actually supposed to ask the speaker lots of questions. And so in some incarnations, there's no slides. We actually have the speakers include some slides. I know Professor Diaz is going to have some really colorful images to show. And so I always just warn the speaker, don't bring too many slides and be prepared to be interrupted the entire time.
So I imagine that's why the scene is or the atmosphere is inside a restaurant and bar as opposed to like a, you know, a conference room.
Yeah, that's exactly the point. We want to make sure people aren't having to come to campus to a lecture hall. They're actually going to some place that's very publicly accessible, very casual. Alcohol is not a requirement, but it certainly is available, and it just contributes to this accessible atmosphere where people are really having a good time. Because the ultimate point of Science Cafe, sure, there's science literacy is one goal, but fun is the other goal, and I think that's what we really try to achieve.
Yep, and you can have fun with an Arnold Palmer. I like those myself. So you have been keeping at it now for over a decade. I mean, obviously we had that hiccup of the pandemic and all of that, but we're rounding a corner. What keeps you doing it?
You know, it's two things. I would say first, it's the response I get from the audience. People are constantly coming up to me and thanking me for it. They're really grateful that I'm able to put this event on. It's supported by the dean of the College of Letters and Science. We get a little bit of financial support from them. So that's great. I also just love interacting with the speakers. In addition to being the host, I'm one of the most engaged audience members. So even though I've known Professor Diaz for quite some time, I'm not really familiar with her research. So I'm going to be there really paying attention and probably asking some of the questions.
All right. So Professor Diaz, is this a first for you, UC Davis Science Cafe?
Yes, this is my first experience at the Davis Science Cafe.
And what is your background?
So my background, it's interesting. So I'm a native Californian. I noticed you're native Californian.
Yep.
As well. My parents are originally from Mexico, and they immigrated when they were kids to the Bay Area, went to college at San Jose State, and really provided us that opportunity, me and my siblings, to go to college. But I never knew what science was about. Like, I liked math. I liked biology in high school. Those were my favorite subjects, but I didn't know you could be a professor. You could do research. And it wasn't until I got into college and had that first lab experience that I realized there was this whole other world. And for me, part of the reason for engaging in activities like this is to try to touch those in the audience who don't have an idea what science is and what it means to be a researcher.
Yeah. So the title of tonight's discussion is How to Change Your Mind, The Mechanisms of Brain Function in Learning and Memory. So for those of us who don't typically go to a lecture hall on a regular basis, what are people going to be learning about tonight?
So our lab studies how the brain develops, how the brain can be modified with experience, but at the molecular level. So at the molecular, cellular level. So the molecules, the genes, the proteins that are busy, hopefully right now as we're actively engaging and people are listening to us, our synapses are being strengthened, remembering some of this information. So what is it about the mechanisms, the actual mechanisms that contribute to this learning?
How did you end up devoting a good amount of your profession and career to this type of research?
So I remember the first picture I saw of a single brain cell called a neuron. And this is one of the most complex types of cells we have in our body. So a single cell can make connections with 1,000 other cells. And that's part of the reason for why we have such complex cognition, why we're able to learn new things and recall such things. But as a molecular biologist, I knew that it was going to be individuals, molecules, proteins that were underlying these processes. And I was intrigued. I was intrigued by the complexity of the system and trying to understand how we can strengthen these synapses, especially since the cells we've had in our body are basically the cells we have in our body right now are basically the same ones we've had since we were kids. So unlike blood cells, skin cells, hair cells that regenerate, the brain is basically what we were born with is what we're going to get.
I imagine there is probably an abyss of so much that we don't know, right?
Yeah, so it's an interesting studying an organ like the brain, right? Because there's the molecular aspects of the plasticity, but yet there's this higher level of cognition and consciousness. And psychologists and cognitive neuroscientists try to bridge the gap with individuals like myself, molecular and cellular neuroscientists. But it's that middle part, right? How do you go from consciousness to molecular mechanisms is still a big unknown.
You know, I mean, part of the title involves memory. And when it comes to memory issues and research surrounding it, whether it's dementia or Alzheimer's or other memory issues, that's at top of mind for a lot of people and a lot of families. Are you involved in research that involves this?
Not directly. So as a basic neuroscientist, we're trying to understand the basic mechanisms of development and plasticity. But as it turns out, as we've learned in many different types of science questions, learning the basics can then be applied towards issues of disease or, for example, with the pandemic, right? So we've been able to apply all of our basic knowledge of retroviruses to make these therapeutics that have been revolutionary. So it's the same idea. Some of the molecules we study do seem to be implicated in some of these neurodegenerative diseases. And so perhaps what we've been studying can then be the target of future therapeutics.
When preparing for tonight's talk at the G Street Wonder Bar, are you preparing differently than you would for, you know, obviously lab work, I would imagine, is different. It's not as tangible, but talking in front of students.
Yeah, absolutely. I completely threw away my PowerPoint and I started with a blank slate. And I'm going to use mostly pictures and describe, as Professor Shaw was saying, my research in stories, both about myself and my journey and the story of trying to understand mechanisms of brain function.
Have you been to a science cafe before, just as in the audience?
Yes, I have been, not recently, to the Davis Science Cafe, but I've been to others. As Jared mentioned, this is a national organization, so I've been to others in other parts of the country.
So given that you have both perspectives, right, you're going to be talking to people and you've also been in the audience, what do you like about it so much?
Well, I like to remember when I was a student and not really knowing what science was about. I'd never met a scientist growing up. I didn't know it was a profession. It didn't seem accessible. It just seemed very abstract. And so here's an example where I can represent an everyday scientist, and hopefully individuals in the audience can see themselves as a future scientist, for example. And the other thing I like to emphasize is that we are all scientists, even though we don't necessarily think of ourselves as scientists. We use the scientific method every day. When things go wrong, things break in the home, We have to research options for buying a new car. We are scientists. And sometimes it just needs a little bit of reminding that.
Yeah. Professor Diaz brings up a really good point. You know, I mean, you don't have a lot of opportunities or, you know, venues to actually take in science, right, Dr. Shaw?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, if you really like music, you can learn to play an instrument. You can write your own songs. You maybe could even go perform in a club. Or, importantly, you could go see your favorite band in a club. And science is different. It's a little more difficult to participate in, but I like to think of us, you know, as the live show that you can go see in a club or a bar in this case to take in a little science.
What has been the feedback and the response that you've received over the last several years?
It's been overwhelmingly positive. You know, I have some members in the audience. I recognize that we're at the very first Science Cafe. They've been sort of
regulars
from the beginning. There was a lot of pressure to maybe make it virtual, you know, do it over Zoom during the pandemic. And I sort of resisted that because it really is an event that benefits from being live. And so we basically took a long break and didn't go online. And it's been great to get back. We came back in October after a few false starts, I would say. And so it's been great to be back. People are really enjoying it. And like I said, the feedback is always positive.
I feel like you need to like have a T-shirt or something.
Well, we have plans for that. So sometime early next year, I have to exactly figure out when it will be, we're going to have our 100th Science Cafe.
Wow.
And so
that's a huge one.
Exactly. We'll have some. I've got the speaker lined up. It's someone at UC Davis who's really an engaging speaker who's done lots of great stuff. And we're maybe going to get a T-shirt made. And I am looking for a celebrity to introduce the speaker for our 100th Science Cafe. So I've talked about various names. I'll see what I can figure out in the next 6 or 8 months.
Well, Professor Shaw and Professor Diaz, thank you both for the conversation.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for having us.
It's going to be a great time tonight. Dr. Jared Shaw is a UC Davis professor and creator of the UC Davis Science Cafe. It is held on the second Wednesday of every month at G Street Wonder Bar in Davis so the community can learn about the current state of science. Tonight is a discussion with Dr. Elva Diaz titled How to Change Your Mind, The Mechanisms of Brain Function in Learning and Memory. We have all of that information on our Insight page if you're interested in making the trip. And that is it for Insight today. You can learn more about our guests at capradio.org/insight. You can also subscribe to the Insight podcast. If you want to join the conversation, shoot us an email, insight@capradio.org. Thank you to producers Nick Dobis and Victor Corral Martinez, with managing editor Aram Sarkissian. Our digital producer is Megan Minata. Insight's technical director is Mark Jones, and he's also engineering today's show. Our show music is produced by Adrian Gilmore. And I'm Vicki Gonzalez. Thanks for joining us. We'll catch you back here tomorrow.